Be present with us, Lord Jesus, as you were present with your disciples, and be known to us in the breaking of bread. In the name of our loving, liberating, and life-giving God. Amen. Methodist pastor Thomas Pettipiece was a political prisoner of conscience, and he wrote of his first Easter Sunday spent in prison. He was among some 10,000 prisoners, and most of the men had lost everything, their homes, their jobs, and contact with their families. It was Easter Sunday, and they wanted to celebrate communion, but they had no cup, no wine, no water, and no bread for the sacrament of communion. So they practiced the communion of the empty hands. Pettipiece began, "This meal in which we take part reminds us of the imprisonment, the torture, the death, and final victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The bread is the body which he gave for humanity. The fact that we have none represents very well the lack of bread in the hunger of millions of human beings. The wine, which we don't have, is his blood and represents our dream of a united humanity, of a just society without difference of race or class." Then Pettipiece, as pastor, held out his empty hand to the next person on his right and passed the imaginary loaf. Each man took a piece and passed it on. Then he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Together, the men ate the imaginary bread and tried to imagine tasting it. Then they passed around the imaginary chalice, each imagining he was drinking from it. Pettipiece said, "Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. Let us give thanks, sure that Christ is here with us, strengthening us." They gave thanks to God and then stood up and embraced each other. And a while later, one of the non-Christian prisoners came up and said, "Y'all have something special which I would like to have." And the father of a girl who had died came up and said, "Pastor, this was a real experience. I believe that today I discovered what faith is." And Jesus said, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven." We are now in the fourth Sunday in a row in which we have heard about bread in the Gospel of John. You might wonder why Jesus teaches on this four Sundays in a row. Maybe it's because of all of our vacations and he doesn't want us to miss anything. But really, the bread is so important. It's part of Jesus's longer teaching about bread, in which he tries to continue to explain the miracle and the deeper meaning of the feeding of the 5,000 story, which was before all those Sundays about bread. And in a way, this passage today could be seen as John's Eucharist, because we don't find the symbolic institution of the Lord's Supper in John that we find in the other Gospels. But beginning with the feeding of the 5,000 story, we find layers of Eucharistic themes in the verses that follow. We find that two loaves and five fish feed a multitude of people, and then Jesus continues teaching on the true bread that comes down from heaven, that he is the bread of life, the living bread, and that those who eat this bread will live forever. He notes a difference between the manna or bread that the ancestors ate in the wilderness, which satisfied their earthly hunger, and the living bread of eternal life that is Jesus himself, which satisfies our spiritual hunger. He says that those who eat this true bread, his flesh, and drink this true wine, his blood, will abide in him and he in them, and that they will be raised up and live forever. The crowd that heard these words were shocked because of their strict dietary laws, and because animals used for food had to be bled out first. So they were taking this literally and were disputing among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they asked. The original hearers of John's gospel already knew of the Eucharist as established and practiced in the early Christian community, and had heard this from the other gospel accounts. John was trying not so much to preserve the Eucharistic practices as to interpret them. And the Eucharist is not just about Jesus' sacrificial death in the last few days of his life, where he institutes the sacrament of communion, but it is in the context of his larger story of life, death, and resurrection. God takes Jesus' whole life, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to us. And in a few minutes, we will gather at the Lord's table and will take in the body and blood of Jesus, who is really present with us, and we will be reminded of that larger story. We are invited each time we gather for communion, literally, to ingest and imbibe in the sacrament of bread and wine and the story of God's love for us, and let it take us, bless us, break us, and give us back to the world. Dom Gregory Dix once wrote, "At the heart of it all is the Eucharistic action, this taking and blessing and breaking and giving of bread, and the taking, blessing, and giving up of a cup of wine, as these were first done with their new meaning by a young Jew before and after supper with his friends on the night before he died. Was ever a command so obeyed?" Think about it. We are still doing this in remembrance of Jesus and for spiritual sustenance 2,000 plus years later, most likely in every country and continent, in churches, in hospitals, in prisoner camps with empty hands, on battlefields, on Pilot Mountain with our youth, at summer camp, in homes, and even one time on the moon. And we need that spiritual food for every event in our lives, from birth to death and all the way in between. Think about all the places that you have received communion and the events that have prompted it. Remember all those who have taken communion with you, those you see still, those you don't, and those who are in the communion of saints. This sacrament connects us one to another, to God and to Jesus, and to our whole human story. It is Jesus' real presence that can sustain us wherever we find ourselves, because it is in this sacrament that we find the most profound moment of encounter with God. This sacrament of communion means so much to us. It was evident in the story I told at the beginning about the prisoners, and we hear over and over again what it means when our lay Eucharistic visitors are able to bring the sacrament of Holy Communion to someone who is shut in, ill, or dying, and not able to be with us here. And I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and I had to wait till age 12 to be confirmed to take communion. And I know I'm a church nerd, but I could not wait to do that. And I remember what it meant to me the first time, in spite of the hat and gloves I had to wear at my confirmation. It was awesome, and it means so much each and every time I receive it still. It always heals and nourishes and sustains me. We have so many in our world who are hungry in so many ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and we see a hunger that's beyond real food. I believe that people hunger and thirst for connection with each other and with God. But we have so many lesser ways of satisfying our hunger that these keep us from receiving the living bread, noticing the real hunger, and from passing the bread on. And at times we may not feel so close to God, but just as we need the nourishment of food and drink every day, we also need our spiritual nourishment too. Jesus invites us to step out in faith and to be fed and to trust that He is the one to fill our hunger and thirst. And this gives us the strength to be living bread to one another. And with humble and open hearts, we can be sustained by the love that's given to us in the sharing of the bread and the cup. Author Sarah Miles, in her book, Take This Bread, wrote, "One early morning when I was 46, I walked into a church, ate a piece of bread, took a sip of wine. This was my first communion. It changed everything. Eating Jesus, as I did that day, to my great astonishment, led me against all my expectations to a faith I'd scorned and work I'd never imagined." And she goes on to recount the story of how she starts a food pantry around the altar at the church in California where she was. After Bishop Michael Curry preached about the way of love at the royal wedding in May, his invitation to the Episcopal Church and beyond to participate in this way emerged into the spotlight. And if you look on the Episcopal Church website, they've posted 7 practices which can help us follow the way of Jesus, the way of love, which can nourish us to help change lives and change the world. And these practices help us receive the grace and love of God, to receive the living bread of Jesus, and to be living bread to one another. And by the way, as a side note, one of our formation classes at the beginning of this fall is about those 7 practices, so stay tuned. I think that the gospel story today focuses on one of those 7 practices. It invites us to the practice of worship, to come to worship, at least weekly, perhaps, to gather in a community of faith, to pray, to listen, to sing, to lift up our hearts to God, to be fed by the body and blood of Jesus, praising and thanking God each and every time. And it is this holy mystery of love that binds us together in the Eucharist. We are invited to share the living bread as we share the way of love. And you and I both know that we will encounter others in the coming week who desperately need this living bread as much as we do. And in the words of that great theologian, Wonder Woman, "And now I know that only love can truly save the world. So now I stay, I fight, and I give for the world I know can be. This is my mission now, forever." My brothers and sisters, we are invited to be the living bread bearers of love to the world. So when you pass the peace to each other in a few minutes, imagine that you are also passing a piece of this living bread to their empty hands, as you say, the peace of the Lord. Think about the possibilities of love and grace that this bread will provide, more than you can ever ask for or imagine. So let us take this bread and ask God to bless it and break this bread and then give it out to others for the sake of the one who is living bread and who gave his life for the world. Amen.
Amen.